The Revo Convo, episode 52, talking about building a tiny house business. Our guest today is Cheryl Coates of Tiny Diamond Homes. Welcome to the Revo Convo, the world's only podcast about tiny houses, the tiny house community, and everything small house related. Today we're enjoying episode 52, where we'll be talking with our guest Cheryl Coates from Tiny Diamond Homes on building a tiny house business. But first, I want to welcome my co-host, Laura Lavoie. Laura, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. For those of you who have never heard the show before, Laura is of 120squarefeet.com, and I am with tinyrevolution.us, and together we are your co-hosts, bringing you season number 2 of the Revo Convo, which we're incredibly excited to be part of. But I want to start out, Laura, by, I want to put you on the spot for just a second, because we've not really even talked about this, but I saw a post this morning on Facebook that was asking, it wasn't even really asking, it was more like a bit of a rant about, you know, the comments that we see people who are selling, you know, they're building tiny houses and they're selling it. And then, of course, the litany of commenters that say things like, you know, I would never pay, you know, this amount of money for a tiny house. You know, those people are trying to take advantage of the current trend and, you know, a tiny house is not worth that much money and that sort of thing. Are you familiar at all with this line of conversation, Laura?
Yeah. A little. You know, it's an interesting idea that I think people aren't really, really putting in the thought about what it really takes to build a house. You know, we built our house entirely by ourselves, and it cost us about $20,000. So to pay somebody else to do it, I would imagine that it's going to cost a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, the comment that I continually make is one not necessarily about, you know, price per square foot or, you know, how much blood, sweat, and tears goes into the design and the build of a tiny house, but it's almost like the commenters are inadvertently making a comment about themselves, and I'll explain that for a second. You know, I'm a big fan of Noah Webster. I think everyone that knows me knows that I am a firm believer in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. I think the etymology of those definitions is most accurate to the words that we use today. And so Noah Webster defined value as the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance, worth, or usefulness of an item. I think it's really interesting because when a commenter says something like, I would never pay $30,000 for a tiny house, I think these people are taking advantage of the market or the trends or whatever. Essentially what they're doing is they're saying, 5 minutes ago I saw some pictures of this tiny house and I was taken by it. It's gorgeous, it's beautiful, the craftsmanship, the this, the that. Then 5 minutes later, with their fingers, they're typing a comment basically saying, I don't assign importance, worth, or usefulness to that tiny house now that I know the price. I'm not willing to step up to that price. I don't believe in what I said 5 minutes ago about the value of the house. And to me, that's what they're saying. It's a comment almost on their own very value system. Now, I think you and I have seen our fair share of tiny houses that scare the bejeebies out of us. Just thinking about them rolling down the road is enough to make me want to give up my driver's license. Not to mention, you know, how well of a structure they are to actually live in. But those are few and far between. If we look at the craftsmanship involved in a lot of tiny houses, especially some of the ones we've started seeing in the last, you know, 4 to 6 months, I don't think, and we're just going to continue to use this number 30,000, I don't think that that's even close to the value that I assign to such a structure.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I completely disagree with you, or do agree with you. I do not disagree with you. I agree with you that it does.
Do not disagree with you.
You know, these are structures that you know, most of the time are built with, you know, more of attention to structure and code and, you know, the requirements of a home than some commercially built, you know, 1,500 square feet home or, you know, 3,000 square feet home.
Oh, absolutely.
And they often use more expensive materials because you need less of it. So you can afford to put, you know, really nice windows in it or mm-hmm. really great insulation.
Well, and two, I think a lot of, because tiny houses aren't always 100% legal in a certain municipality, people build with a lot more care and concern that at any minute they could be, you know, rampaged by, you know, the zoning ordinance commissioner or, you know, the zoning commissioner of their county or whatever. And they want to have all of their, you know, all of their T's crossed and their I's dotted. So they overbuild the structure. In talking about, you know, quality and stuff like that, the first thing that comes to mind is Zach Thomas of Charleston Tiny House. Now, you know, I've been following the golden elephant, if you will, for a long time because Zach is taking a long time to build this tiny house. But if you look, and folks, I would encourage you to check this out. It's charlestontinyhouse.com. If you take a few minutes and you follow through his build, the home, the structure is, I don't even know if I can think of a word, Laura. It's impeccable. I mean, the amount of detail, the amount of structure, the amount of aesthetic that's gone into it, it's absolutely gorgeous. You know, in his last post, he was, you know, he spent the summer installing and testing systems. I can remember his electrical system, him doing his plumbing system, that sort of stuff. He used over 700 feet of wire, 26 circuits, and countless amounts of PEX and PVC for his plumbing, just so he could move on to the next stage, which is he's going to be doing spray foam installation. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous, this home. In fact, he did use spray foam installation. He used, of course, Charleston, being in South Carolina, but there's a company that services both Carolinas called Affordable Spray Foam Insulation of the Carolinas. And they're based out of Charleston, but they came and did his spray foam. And it's an absolutely gorgeous house. And for someone to, you know, get onto a forum or to a thread or to any sort of comment board and suggest that this home is not worthy of every penny that he may assign to it in terms of his value, it's just ridiculous. Because it's bar none, it's one of the most well-built homes I've seen in a very, very, very long time. So, absolutely. You know, first of all, props to Zach for that, because it's a beautiful house. But, you know, it continues, you know, it just continues this line of conversation. Value is what someone is willing to assign to an item or a product.
And when you look at it, you know, in Zach's case, he's building his own tiny house. We built our own tiny houses. So there's a little bit of a difference between what we've done and what people are looking at with commercially built tiny houses. But when you look at one like Sachs, for example, you can see that every single layer of this house, from the trailer up, was built with such care and intention. It really becomes not just a house, but a work of art, and, you know, something that's more than a house.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't even know that you can put a value on something like that.
I would think that if you were to try and assign a value, it would really become kind of a, you know, a discretionary value that's kind of a just a, you know, like throwing darts at a balloon or something. You're just, you know, you don't really know. You lose track of how much time you spend on it. You lose track of maybe your materials budget. I mean, you know, it's not an endeavor like building a sticks and bricks house where you're a contractor and you have X amount of man hours and you use X amount of pieces of sheetrock and that sort of stuff. You know, it's a very different thing indeed. So I guess what I'm saying is to all of those folks that like to yuck people's yum on the comment boards and say, oh, this house is not worth that amount of money. Look, nobody's making you buy it. So congratulations.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about it. Quit commenting on it, look at the pictures, enjoy the pictures, and then leave the people alone, because you're oftentimes hurting feelings rather than helping folks. And so just let it go.
Exactly.
If you don't think it's worth a certain amount of money, then you move on to the next picture on Pinterest, you know, just keep going. you know, and I think about this a lot now because I often entertain myself with the thought of, well, what if we were to sell our tiny house? You know, what would I put it on the market for? I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think here's a question to our listeners. Listeners, email me, andodom@gmail.com. You've seen my tiny house. You've seen Tiny Revolution. Tell me what kind of value you would assign to it, because I'd be interested to see how that pairs up, you know, to what I think it's worth. Because I know what went into it. I know what didn't go into it. I know how much time was spent on it. Sometimes I think, oh, $15,000 would cover everything. Well, yeah, it would cover everything, but would it cover, you know, a year of my life? Would it cover the fact that, you know, I would be selling the very house that brought me into the tiny house community and made us who we are in terms of Tiny Revolution? And then sometimes I think, well, you know, if I were just to count the materials and stuff, the roof alone is $8,000.
Right.
So, you know, it's a tough call. So again, I encourage y'all to email me, andodom@gmail.com. Tell me what you think it's worth. I'd be interested to hear. Maybe I'll hold a contest. The person who comes closest to matching the number I think it's worth will get a hearty thank you from me.
You know, I know what our tiny house cost. You know, I know all the money that went into it, but it's about a lot more than that. It was about the adventure. It was about the experience. It was about, you know, there's sentimental value to it because we built it exactly like we wanted it.
Right.
So yeah, there's no number I can put on it.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say it's about the adventure because it makes me think of all-inclusive vacation packages. You know, when Crystal and I were looking at possibly going to, like, Grenada or going to the Bahamas or something and doing one of those all-inclusive packages, for, like, 7 days, 6 nights, you know, it was, like, maybe $4,100 a person or something. And we really found that to be reasonable. Like, we were considering it, you know, saving for, like, an entire year to do this because we found the value in it because we were buying the adventure that we could have during the course of that week. And so there, you know, it's not very different for me because when you buy into a tiny house, when you purchase a tiny house, you are essentially buying an admission ticket to an adventure because you will never be able to just live in it without people going, "You live in what? Really? How does that work?" You know, it's like having a dog or an infant. It's constant conversation with everyone you meet.
Oh, absolutely. There's never a time that we're in public that somehow it doesn't come up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. But I wanted to bring that up because it just popped up this morning. I was very interested in it. And so, you know, I want to move on, and I don't want to spend too much more time on that because everybody's going to have their own opinion. And, of course, we welcome your opinions. You can email either myself or you can email Laura. Laura, tell them what your email address is in case they want to yuck your yum for a while.
Sure. It's lmlavolie@gmail.com.
Yeah. And I'm even thinking about maybe we should start an email, maybe like revoconvo@gmail.com, so people can email the show directly. Tell us what you want to hear, or tell us what you think of our guests. Tell us what you think of my incredibly alluring voice. You know, all those sort of things. So maybe we'll start that over the course of the week and give people a way to get us directly at the show. But hey, I do want to mention a couple of things, Laura. It's been a pretty exciting week. You, of course, know who Hari Berzins is, Hari and Carl of the Tiny House family. They are the ones who have been living in a tiny house, family of four, a double lofted tiny house, and now they're building a, you know, absolutely gorgeous, what they call the big house, if you will. I think it's about 800 square feet, mortgage free. They're building it themselves. It's just, it's a beautiful home. It's got lots of windows. It's on the little mountain area that they purchased there in Virginia, so... anyway, I say all that to bring up the fact that they are launching a really cool thing. They are launching a 5-week online course that they've designed to kind of lead folks through a process of redesigning life so that, you know, so the average person can live on their own terms and not the terms of the mortgage that they get involved with. According to Hari, you're going to develop a plan and put it into action based on your unique dreams, style, and life situation, as well as find a community of supportive folks that are in the same place, you know, ready to make that sort of change. I think it's very cool. I can speak for e-courses. I like the fact that you can talk with people that are taking the course with you. You can encourage each other. You can belong to a very unique community. You know, accessible pretty much 24/7. You may never meet them in real life, but you're always connected to them, which is very cool. And this e-course is 5 weeks worth of lessons, which is an exceptionally long time. You get an email every day except for Monday. The membership is to a private online community. And here's the cool thing, Laura. Not only do you connect with the folks that you're taking the course with, but you also connect daily with Hari and Carl themselves. They'll be manning the boards and talking and answering questions and that sort of stuff. And then on the last day of the course, you get a PDF of everything you've learned, which I'm obviously a huge fan of, as I create PDFs all the time. What's very cool, there's a bonus right now. If you register, you get a free copy of Hari's book, Coming Home, Letters from a Tiny House, which I have read and reviewed and really enjoyed it when I first got my hands on it. So I think if you go to tinyhousefamily.com, that's tinyhousefamily.com, you can register for the class. Laura, what do you think tuition is? Take a stab. 5 weeks worth of lessons, daily lessons.
Well, I mean, once again, we're assigning value, right? I think that's an invaluable lesson that you could have. So, no, I don't know what it costs. What does it cost?
$97, Laura.
$97. Wow, that's not even
$25 a week.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy talk. So that is an excellent value. Classes start on March 15th. You need to sign up now. Start spending less time looking at other people's tiny houses. Start spending some time planning your own, figuring out how you can get your life back under control. And I honestly can't think of anybody better than Hari to help do that. She's a wonderful person. So check that out at tinyhousefamily.com and register today. I think the last thing that I wanted to say before we welcome our guest, which, by the way, I'm excited about having our guest today. She is she's like one third Tiny Diamond Homes. It's a family run business and they build beautiful tiny homes, almost custom built. And they've done some exciting things in terms of creating a business, because they have actually secured a financing partner for their tiny homes. So it's going to be interesting to talk to her. And they built this business from zilch, from zero, from nothing. So it'll be interesting to talk about that. But before we get there, I just want to remind everybody about two things. Number one, this issue 14 of Tiny House Magazine, is out. You can purchase your copy at tinyhousemagazine.co. You can get it in PDF version or available for the iOS device. You can also purchase a subscription and all of the archive copies as well. And then the other thing that I wanted to let people know is that Tiny House Magazine is also running a contest right now, Laura. Did you know that?
I did know that. It's a pretty sweet contest.
It is a sweet contest, and I think you would have been a great participant had you carried your happy butt up to the mountain while it was snowing and taken a picture.
Yeah. The mountains of North Carolina weren't precisely drivable during our snowmageddon.
I'm not concerned about you driving. I was hoping to see you don snowshoes and walk up there. I can see you. If I were to make a cartoon of you, I would make you like one of those sheep dogs that has the keg around their neck. Yeah, so you and Matt would stop like every 2 miles and have a good round of drinks and then continue on.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's excellent. So people are probably wondering what the heck we're talking about. So the contest is this. For issue 15, there's been a lot of snow in a lot of areas. As Laura just said, Snowmageddon 14. Which I heard on the news this morning, Laura, that Chicago, not that I've ever been to Chicago, mind you, on an average year, they get 26.7 inches of rain. This year alone, they've gotten 62.3 inches of snow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's crazy.
It's like 40 more inches of snow than they typically get. That's just ridiculous. So lots of places have gotten snow. So what Kent over at Tiny House Magazine is doing, he's sponsoring a contest. If you want to see your tiny house in a winter wonderland featured on the cover, all you need to do is take a high-resolution picture in a vertical orientation, that's up and down, vertical orientation, and email that to tinyhousemagazine@gmail.com, or you can just go to Facebook, Tiny House Blog, and you can post it there for Kent, or you can send it to Laura and I, and we'll get it on to him, whatever. But it'd be great to see someone's beautiful Winter Wonderland tiny house on the cover. Winners will be chosen by an esteemed panel of tiny house bloggers and dwellers. So be sure to enter that contest. If you're listening to this recording as an archive and it is past March 15th, 2014, I got news for you. The contest is over. All right. So... So let's move on. I want to get talking to Cheryl and find out, you know, what makes this. This is our first tiny house business, isn't it? That we've actually talked to someone who actually builds and sells tiny houses.
Yeah, I believe that is true.
It is. So let's go ahead and talk to her for a second. Well, more than a second. Let's talk to her for a few minutes. Hello, Cheryl. Welcome to the Revo Convo. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm doing well. Hey, how is the weather where you are? We were just talking about weather.
Well, today it looks like it's going to hit 60.
That's not bad. That's better than Laura. Laura is... Laura, what is the weather in Asheville? What are you going to hit today?
I think today we're going to get up to the 50s, but it has been, below freezing several nights.
Wow. Well, you know, here in Southwest Florida, where we're snowbirding, I think we're supposed to have 82 degrees today.
Oh, shut up.
Hey. I can't help it. I was needed. I was needed down here. People needed to know about tiny houses. I had to come and proselytize in Southwest Florida during the snowiest year on record. All right, so... Cheryl, I already talked to the folks. I already introduced you. You're a Tiny Diamond Home. So one of the first things I want to ask is, tell us a little bit about the business. Who's involved with it? I know it's a family-run business. How did y'all get started?
Well, it is family-run business. It's my husband and sons. My husband has been in construction since the early 1980s, and he started his career building custom homes at 3,000 square feet. And he framed and learned how to frame properly. So over the years, we've moved on to other projects and fell in love with tiny homes. And he noticed some of the things that he could do differently that would improve the structure and the longevity of a tiny home.
Right, right. And it's interesting that... It's interesting to me that you said, you know, he kind of started with 3,000 square foot homes, because I did a little quick math there, and I realized that you could fit right at 17 average tiny houses inside of a home that he traditionally was building 20 years ago. So I've never thought of it like that, Laura. And, you know, my parents live in a 4,800 square foot house, so I often wonder how many of my houses could fit inside of their house. It would be interesting.
I've never really seen that.
I was thinking maybe I should just get everyone to converge on my parents' house, because they have the back of their houses, all these double doors. We could just open them all up and start driving houses in and parking them. I think it'd be fantastic. I think it'd be absolutely wonderful. I don't know how my parents would feel about that, but sometimes it's easier to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission. So... back to you, Cheryl. You're with Tiny Diamond Homes. And folks, if you're listening, that is www.tinydiamondhomes.com. Yes, that's diamond as in the stone, the rock, the ring, if you will. And what's interesting is on the website, you're pretty plain on the very beginning, Cheryl, is that all trailers are custom built with a 2-inch by 3-inch steel framing support with electric assist brakes on all four wheels. The total capacity is 10,000 pounds for 10,000 pounds for the house, with over 3,000 pounds of personal belongings. So even though it's not square footage spacious, y'all build your house to where there's a lot of usable room, and you can actually put quite a bit of stuff in the tiny house.
We fear to overbuild. I mean, use a trailer that will actually carry the load that somebody might want. We figured that somebody would want a washer and dryer and a nice refrigerator in it, and you have to have a trailer that has the axles and the wheels to carry it.
Absolutely. Now, do y'all purchase your trailers from a company, or do you have them custom built for each job?
We have them custom built right now for each job,
mm-hmm.
and we've actually started putting detachable hitches on them.
Oh, wow.
That's very nice.
So when you, so if somebody pulls up and parks and they're going to be there for some amount of time, they can pull the hitch right off of it.
Correct.
That is very cool because, you know, I think one of the things we see on a regular basis, Laura, is interesting ways that people try and disguise their hitch.
Right.
Unlike me, who does absolutely nothing to try and disguise it, because I think it's funny that people ask, you know, you ever been worried somebody's going to pull up one night and steal it? Look,
yeah.
If you've got that much time and energy on your hands, go for it. You can pull us away.
You park the car in front of it just in case.
Yeah,
well,
really.
You know, if you've got $50,000 a house sitting in, on your driveway, it's pretty easy for somebody to steal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think, so that's really incredible. I didn't know that about y'all's houses. I'm really, that's exciting to me to think about that.
Well, and it's one of the requirements to get into a mobile home park.
How about that?
And that makes the tiny houses much more feasible for a lot of people if they have the option of where they can park it.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, that's one of the conversations that's had often. I want to build a tiny house, but if I do, where do I park it? Where am I going to put this thing? So, Cheryl, let me ask you. So it sounds like y'all are designing houses that are, if not already, are looking down the road at being compatible with something like a mobile home park or a long-term RV park or something of that nature.
Ours are very much so. I mean, everything we do is to help that compatibility, make it easy for the person to hook up. And even, you know, all the plumbing is in the area where it can be insulated and a light bulb can be put down in there. So even in adverse weather conditions, the pipes won't freeze.
That's incredible. And that's something we've heard a lot of this year, Laura, is our friends who are, you know, when the temperature drops, they're basically left with electricity and heat, and that's it. No water, no, you know, nothing like that. So it's nice to hear that, you know, that's one of the considerations. I want to talk a little bit about a little bit more about the trailer, because I'm interested. As I was reading through y'all's site some time ago, I remember reading that the tiny houses y'all construct can actually be removed from the trailer and placed on a foundation.
They can. Yeah, they
can. How does that work? Is it just a series of it's bolted to the trailer, you can undo the bolts and then set it down on a slab foundation?
Basically, what you would do is, now you're asking me real technical things that my husband knows better than I do.
That's okay.
The way he attached it with the bolts, he made them to be able to come off again.
Oh, okay.
So basically, you would want to jack it up and roll it over your foundation.
Right.
And then take your axle. Usually, see, you can do one or two things. You can leave your axles on.
Uh-huh.
And set it down on like a foundation that's raised
mm-hmm.
a little bit. And that is actually the easiest way to do it.
And that's
that's
kind of what we have with our tiny house, is we're on concrete piers. We could very easily unbolt the, you know, the U-bolts that are on the axles, and then we would be sitting there like any, you know, mobile or modular home.
Right.
So that's very cool. Laura, I think this is probably the first time we've heard of a company going to this extreme for the homeowner.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it gives so many different options for buyers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, somebody who has, you know, who maybe already has a lot at a park like we're at right now, where they can put a park model in, that sort of thing. If a tiny house can be put on a foundation, they can roll one of those in, put it on the foundation, have it inspected by the park folks, and you're golden. It's the same as a park model. You're in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is...
In our... if you even want to go bigger, you can always use two trailers and connect them and actually get the amount of square footage to meet HUD standards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically what y'all are doing, or what it sounds like to me, is you're taking the idea of a tiny house, which, you know, we're thinking, when we think tiny house, we think more of the tiny house kind of ethos, the idea of living with less and a smaller blueprint and that sort of thing. But you're crafting them to where they can also be modified very easily into what we know as more of a traditional modular home, where you can take two and
right.
piece them together and that sort of thing. So what we're seeing, and Laura, this feeds right into the conversation we had earlier. We're talking about the quality craftsmanship of tiny houses,
mm-hmm.
because we know what the inside of a modular looks like. They've come a long way, but it's still very obvious you're in a modular. We're talking about the custom craftsmanship of a tiny house mixed with the ability to create a more aesthetically, for lack of better words, I'll say aesthetically normalized modular home or small house. And you're marrying those two things together so you get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me...
I believe so.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I want to focus our attention on kind of the interior. The exterior is just, you know, the y'all using fantastic roofing. They're metal roofs, hidden seam metal roofs, which I think is great. You put an ice dam underneath, which is, for right now, it's fantastic for people to think about. You know, people that are thinking about doing their own roofs and that sort of stuff, you really need to think about, with this sort of weather, you know, putting in some sort of membrane or something underneath. You know, I always get worried, Laura, when I see tiny home trailers that, you know, you never know where you're going to end up. And so when they put roof on, they really just use like kind of a corrugated metal and then just put it
mm-hmm.
right on the roof sheathing without tar paper, without any sort of membrane.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah, you need the ice dam at least.
Yeah, I always get concerned about that because I think, you know, every place you
that's
put a screw
code.
Is a potential leak. Every single one. So, you know, that's something you really have to think about. And of course, y'all use...
Well,
go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, I was going to say, part of residential code, when you put on a roof, you either have to put tar paper on the plywood and then put shingles, but shingles fly off when you drive.
Right.
So,
right.
We just took it a step further. One of the codes is actually when it's it's in a space like a patio cover that doesn't have heat underneath to keep it warm and melted.
Mm-hmm.
They require ice dam because it is self-sealing. And that way ice doesn't build up under there and seep through your roof.
Yeah.
But it's perfect for tiny homes. When you put the roof on, it's really, the front end especially, you have to crimp the edge with the metal over it and tack it down so it doesn't blow off.
Right, right.
As well.
Laura, would you say in your, you know, tiny house experience, would you say that's something that I think a lot more tiny houses really need to think about is the roof aspect of what they're doing? The roof is, you know, from my standpoint, the roof is the number one place of compromise when you're talking about inclement weather. And once you start,
yes.
once you start getting that insulation wet that's in between, you know, your interior ceiling and your roof, once that starts getting wet, now we're talking about mold and mildew and it just starts creeping down all of the cavities in your walls. So, Laura, would you say, in your opinion, that's something that we could probably not talk enough about to tiny house builders?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's very important.
The pitch is also important.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want, and that's because you want the pitch to be able to, you know, if you're in a snowy environment, you need the snow not to hang out up there. You need it to drip down. You need water to drain properly. You don't want to create, you know, a pitch that, you know, holds that sort of stuff in place so that it has more of a chance to permeate your roof line.
The metal roofs recommend a 312 minimum to maintain your warranty.
Gotcha. Okay. I wanna move on because I also think it's interesting that y'all offer something that I don't think I've ever seen on a tiny house. Y'all offer gutters on your tiny houses.
Say that again?
You offer gutters. People can get gutters on their
tires. Yeah, it's ready for gutters. You don't want to put them on the road, but once they get to the place, it's already, the edge is there to put the gutter on.
Yeah. So what we're talking about with Tiny Diamond Homes, and this is very cool, or what I'm picking up on, is the bill doesn't stop the moment somebody shows up and you know, pays you the balance, and then they can walk away their tiny house and you're done. Y'all are pretty much a full service. You'll deliver the house, get it set up where it needs to be, put the gutters on, and make sure that it is as solid as it was in y'all's build site.
If people want a deck, we'll build them a deck.
See, that you can't beat that. Laura, that goes back to what we were talking about in terms of value. I mean, that's incredible.
Right, exactly.
That's, you know, to be able to, that basically turns your tiny house into a turnkey operation. You finish with the balance of payment, you get the house, they come out, they help set it, they'll put a deck on for you, which, I don't know, it took me like a year to put a deck on ours. So, you know, there's a lot to be said with that. And of course, the windows are Geldwin windows, which we're all fans of Geldwin. All the houses have smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. And I'm going to take a minute for a PSA. Folks, if you do not have a carbon monoxide detector in your tiny house, please stop listening to this podcast. Go to Home Depot and get one right now.
Please.
Don't even compromise this. If you're using propane in your house or gas of any sort, please, folks, discontinue listening to this podcast and go buy a carbon monoxide detector. Thank you. That's the end of this PSA. I want to talk
and have a window big enough for fire escape on the loft.
Yeah, please. Mm-hmm. Have something you can jump out of, please. I mean, you know, if the house goes up in flames, we don't want you to go with it. Just be able to get some marshmallows and sit back and watch, but don't die. You know, when people ask Crystal and I, you know, because we don't have homeowners, and we're actually one of the few that aren't even looking for homeowners, to tell you the truth. When people say, well, what if you had a fire? Look, it's 98% wood to begin with. Ain't going to be no saving it. We live in the middle of nowhere. It'd take 20 minutes for the volunteers to come out to put it out. I fully intend to just get some marshmallows and sit there and watch it go. And that's it. I'll move on to the next adventure.
Exactly.
You know, it's just one of those things where if you truly are detached from material possessions, it's just another thing. Yes, it's a loss of money and it's a loss of time and energy and that sort of stuff. But if you're safe, your family's safe, you do the best you can. And for us, we're just going to get some marshmallows and have a blast. Watch it go.
You can insure them, you know, and
oh,
then
yeah,
it can be rebuilt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of options coming out now. And Laura and I are going to be talking about that more as the season goes on. I want to talk for a minute, Cheryl, if you don't mind, about the interior, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, you and I first got connected kind of emailing back and forth about the interior, because I'm a fan of the tiny house kitchen. I believe in having a functional kitchen, and that's one of the things that y'all's kitchens are, is functional. I would encourage all of you to go to tinydiamondhomes.com and look at some of the photos they've put up on their slideshow and also just on the main pages of the kitchens. They are beautiful, functional kitchens. And Cheryl, y'all build these on site. These are custom kitchens, right?
We did. And this one, you can't find standard cabinetry to go into a tiny house.
Mm-hmm.
We actually built our own cabinetry. Our newer models, the newer homes that are going out, we actually have a cabinet maker now doing it. And that has opened some doors for some choices and
mm-hmm.
finishes, which is really exciting. It would be the same layout, but just different doors and cabinetry.
Right, right.
But one of the things I wanted is to have enough space to really cook in
mm-hmm.
and to wash in and store in. And that's what our kitchen is about. You have to have a workable space that you can spin around in.
Absolutely.
And not bump into anything.
Absolutely. For those of you who haven't seen the kitchen that we're talking about, there's no less than, I believe, 5 or 6 drawers. There's a countertop workspace. There's a 4-burner stove and an oven. There's a full-size sink, which everyone's heard me talk about. I don't understand using a bar sink. It makes no sense to me. I get more wet than the dishes do. It's got 3 wall cabinets, a full-size refrigerator, and a pantry. I mean, how much more could you ask for? And It's kind of a half galley design. It goes down the expanse of the wall and curves. It turns the corner just a little bit, but it's underneath of the loft. I think it's got LED lights in there, so it's just a beautiful, workable kitchen. And I think that's...
love that kitchen.
It's fantastic. I mean, it really is. And I'm always curious to know... Laura's probably one of the few exceptions because she had no intention of building an indoor kitchen. They wanted an outdoor kitchen to begin with. You're banned from this conversation, Laura.
I will stay quiet.
But it's always been an interest of mine, Cheryl, how people feel a year later in their tiny house with, you know, abbreviated size kitchens. Because for me, it just wouldn't work. For our family, it just wouldn't work. And I understand everybody's got their own needs. And maybe if I was a bachelor in a tiny house, it would be a different situation altogether. But I think it's important to think about, you know, if you want to stay in your tiny house, I think it's important to think about a year or two or 3 years down the road, how that space is going to continue to function for you. And that's one of the things I like about the inside of y'all's. Some of the other elements, of course, y'all use traditional pine tongue and groove for a lot of the interior with a beautiful finish on it. Y'all have Laura, they use the IKEA Norden gate leg table. It's not...
Right, one of the two tiny house tables that are the only appropriate tables.
That's right.
Houses.
If you're going to be in the tiny house community, you can only have one of two tables in your house. The Norden is the second choice. Now, of course, in our house, we have the IKEA hack Norden table because we had to make it big enough for four people. So ours is built at home out of elm, burnt elm, and so it's a different sort of thing altogether. But anyway, so here's what I really want to talk about. We have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about Cheryl with you. The notion of building a tiny house business. Laura and I were talking earlier about, you know, the amount of people that don't understand how someone could charge $30,000 for a tiny house, or how do they assign value to the cost of a tiny house. You know, a lot of people are kind of under this assumption that anyone that charges more than, you know, $12,000 for a tiny house is taking advantage of the popular market right now. In putting together y'all's business, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, how do y'all assign value? Because I know that you analyze, as kind of the office manager bookkeeper, you analyze the amount of work hours and the amount of material expenses and all that goes into building these. So what's it been like for you for you and your family to build this business, this tiny house business?
You know, I get so many calls asking why we charge so much for our final product, when there are others out there for so much less. And usually I just sort of say, I'd be glad to look at the other one and make some comparisons for you. And usually it comes down to everything that we put in our tiny house is quality material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the roof has a 50-year warranty. The trailer is custom made to handle certain things and the detachable hitch and that sort of stuff. We include... We actually hire an electrician to do the wiring in ours, which, not just us. I mean, I think we believe in second checking what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If we believe in safety for our customers, and that's a huge liability and a burden for us. And we're going to do everything possible we can to make sure our homes will hold up and not be... have any problems or kill anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the other things that we do, we were one of the first to actually put in tankless hot water heaters.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be vented just so with the propane. The mm-hmm. propane lines have to be run just so. Some of the things that we really take into consideration in our houses is how the house is balanced on the road,
mm-hmm.
where the weight needs to be in the house. We look at the structure, and we actually do some structural things that isn't on our website that we're looking at patenting. But our houses are meant to last and hold up during the hurricane, force winds up to travel, and the earthquake fake life taking that they go through. And so it begins with the framing. Framing has, you can't do sloppy framing.
Mm-hmm.
The end part of a tiny home, the back end, it's called a shear panel.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing to, for these homes to have, maintain their structure is put as little as possible into that area.
Right.
A window, but not much more than that. Otherwise, as it goes down the road, it creaks side to side, and it stresses the plate attachments between the floor and the walls,
mm-hmm.
in the corners of the base. And then pretty soon, doors and windows don't work. You know, just some of these little things to make a difference in whether they last or not.
Yeah. I just have to say, while you were talking, you know, this is a very real podcast. This is not,
Hi. How are you today?
This is a very real podcast.
Hi, you
this
good?
My daughter,
okay.
Who wanted to join the podcast today and talk about tiny houses.
How are you today?
So here she is, talking about tiny houses.
Cute.
And,
hey,
sometimes you can keep her away and sometimes you can't.
Can we talk in here?
Thank you, everyone, for bearing with me as my little co-host jumped on there for a few minutes. I'll have to check those levels out. She's pretty excited today because we're going to see some acrobatic dogs today. So she's pretty excited, and you know, this tiny house thing is old hat to her. So these podcasts don't interest her very much, but. Cheryl, in saying what you were saying, you and I actually had a conversation once about the shear panels and things, because we saw a number of homes kind of at the same time come out online that were putting a lot of double doors and French doors and things on that back wall, and it really did, to some degree, to a large degree actually, it does sacrifice some of the structural integrity, especially when you are toting it down the road. And, you know, one of the things about that, in my opinion, is the leveling of the tiny house, too, because, you know, it has the ability to rack the rest of the house if left in an unlevel situation for a certain amount of time. So it is a huge thing that has to be dealt with and has to be thought about. I want to say this, Laura, I am curious if any of our listeners... have any idea, you know, when we talk about the cost of a tiny house, what Tiny Diamond Homes actually charges for a house? And I hope they've checked out the website by now, but would you believe that an unfinished Tiny Diamond Home with rough plumbing and rough electrical for a 30-foot-long tiny house is only $29,000?
Well, yeah, that is completely reasonable.
I think it's incredibly reasonable. And then, so that's the unfinished house. So there is, you know, some finish work to do on the inside. But, you know, this is not a company that says, hey, you know, if you don't hire us to do your finish work, we're going to do less of a quality job for you. This is a company mm-hmm. that's saying, hey, we're offering you a structurally sound tiny house that you can unleash your, you know, creativity or your interior design skills on. Or you can hire us to finish it up. But a 30-foot house for $29,000, you know, that really is a very reasonable price, especially when you consider the amount of care and concern that goes into the building and the materials. So it's interesting, Cheryl, to hear from you talk about, you know, the things that y'all put into the house and the care that you give it. It really does sound to me like one of the advantages of working with a family company is it's almost like y'all build it as if you were building it for your family.
We do. We really do.
And that's, to me, that's the sign of a good company and a good product is someone who says, look, I would live here. I myself would live in this house. You know, I'm not just selling them. I would live in it. So it's very cool. And Cheryl, I want to thank you for being our guest today and talking about tiny houses and tiny diamond homes. I know that y'all are busy. You were telling me the other day, y'all have got a few orders already placed and y'all are already working on some of those, and you've just placed a house for a client. I got to see those pictures, so I know y'all are keeping busy and keeping tiny houses being built, and I appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us today.
I appreciate your letting me join in.
Absolutely. So, folks, if you didn't get that, that's Tiny Diamond Homes, www.tinydiamondhomes.com. And we are talking today with our wonderful guest, Cheryl Coates, who is part of this family operation building beautiful tiny homes at Tiny Diamond Homes. Thank you again, Cheryl. Have a great day today.
Thank you.
So, Laura, what did you think? Have you looked at Tiny Diamond Homes before we had Cheryl on today?
I did, absolutely. Yeah, I had a chance to read through their website and look at what they had to offer.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, they're attractive houses. They're not, you know, they're not the fanciest tiny houses we've seen, but they are incredibly functional, and I'm most impressed with the interior because I think they offer a lot of really valuable space inside the tiny house, and they've got a lot of neat little, you know, neat little things inside of it that just enhance your ability to live in a tiny house. So that was great to hear from her. We didn't talk as much about the business side as I kind of thought I wanted to at first, but as I was thinking about it, I was like, maybe I don't want to put them on the spot to expose so much of their business plan because you never know who's listening and thinking, I could do that, you know. So, but I'm sure that if anybody wanted, you could contact Cheryl. I remember, you know, months and months ago, I contacted her out of the blue and just started talking to her. So she's a very friendly person. And between her and her husband, they know a lot about construction, and they're always open to just answering questions. You know, you don't have to be a client to talk to them. So happy to have her on the show. And so look, we've got some more shows coming up. Of course, everybody knows we've got some cool guests coming up. You've got some guests coming up. I say you've got some guests coming up because they're folks that you made contact with because you run in cooler circles than me sometimes. And I think that our next episode, we're going to be talking with Wishbone Tiny Homes. So folks, if you want to turn in your internet hymnals to wishbonetinyhomes.com and get a head start on reading about them, that's who we're going to be talking to on the next podcast. And so that's pretty exciting. And hopefully everyone will start thawing out. And Laura, when are y'all planning? When do y'all usually make the Mecca back up to the mountain?
You know, we are planning on heading back up there for at least a little while, probably later this month or the beginning of March. And then we'll be up there permanently probably sometime in April.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, good. Well, hopefully it'll start thawing out and we'll start to see some little wildflowers blooming and the world will take on a new shape. If not, yes, we'll all freeze to death.
Exactly. Yeah,
okay.
So at this point, it's another ice age, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's the ice age. Except for where I'm at. Clearly, it's not the ice
age.
Right. So, hey, everybody, thank you so much for joining the Revo Convo. This has been episode 52. As always, we thank you for tuning in, for joining us. We ask that if you enjoyed what you heard over the past 40, 45 minutes, that you would take time to review our show, to rate our show on its iTunes page. We also ask that you would subscribe so that you don't miss any of the episodes of the Revo Convo podcast. And as always, if you want to find out more about Laura and I, you can visit me at tinyrevolution.us, or you can email me at anndotum@gmail.com. And Laura, how can they find out about you?
Oh, well, they can read about my tiny house at the blog, www.120squarefeet.com, and that's the number 120. Or they can email me at lmlacoie@gmail.com.
Excellent. So thank you so much, guys, for listening, and we will see you next week on the Revo Convo.